the Spirits on Spirits podcast, where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate. And together we dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode, we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories.
Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, hula ghouls, and welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are so happy that you're joining us in our studio in Salem, Massachusetts. We are here to grace your ears with another episode of Spirits on Spirits. Aiden, how we doing this week?
Aloha.
Oh, yeah.
You'll understand why I'm saying that in just a minute.
Yeah, we are coming at you. We got if you did not put two and two together, we got a tropical episode for you. But welcome back. We hope you had a great holiday season. You left the bad vibes and the bad energy in 2025, and you know, you're bringing only the good things with you in 2026. And if you're listening to us, that means we made it to 2026.
Dude, yeah. Happy first episode of 2026. Yeah. That's awesome.
Super cool that, you know, when did we start this? 2024?
We filmed our first episode in 2024, but we didn't put anything out until
2025. But we've been on this journey for, at this point,
two years.
Two calendar almost, years. Yeah. Which is so cool. So, you know, if you're along this ride with us, we appreciate you. We, like I said, hope you had a good holiday season, and hopefully your new year is going swell so far.
Indeed.
Aiden, where are we headed this week, though?
So we're going to Honolulu, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Maliki Miki Maga is the way for me.
I want to preface this episode with a couple of things. So I am doing two things differently.
Ooh, do
in
tell.
This episode. So first off, I'll start with our cocktail, which is slightly different. I am going with a pre-mixed canned cocktail.
Oh, fun.
So instead of mixing it up myself, I decided to let Dogfish Head do it for me.
There you go.
Not sponsored, by the way.
Yeah.
But we're doing the Rum Mai Tai.
Nice.
Pineapple Orange. It's 12% alcohol.
Nice. There you go. What's in a Mai Tai?
Let's find out together.
It's obviously rum.
It's rum.
Yeah, it's rum.
Let's see if I...
But I'm thinking, just in case people, you know, didn't have access to the pre-made cans, but what, how could they whip one up if they want to, you know, sip along with us? Because, you know, I don't know where you all are. Yeah, but where we are up in Salem, Mass, it's very freaking cold. And I, throughout the winter, periodically, will like to do a couple of things that get me feeling warm, get me feeling tropical and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You want to know the weirdest thing I do that, like, gets me feeling tropical and stuff like that?
What's that?
When I shower sometimes, not every single time in the winter, not a maniac, but sometimes when I shower, I will use a beach towel instead of a bath towel.
Ooh, okay.
And just, it's a little hit of dopamine. It's just a little like, ooh, oh, you're feeling seasonally depressed? Let's get a little beach towel around you. You just feel like, oh man, like for a second, a millisecond, you could hear the waves. You can feel the sun on you. And you're just like, oh man. Like,
do you ever fill your apartment with sand and put a couple of live crabs in there?
I do. Yeah. Yes. Every once in a while. I actually... If I really want to feel the summer spirit, I make a sandwich and I just sprinkle sand on the top and get like a bag of potato
lather
chips.
Lather yourself up in sunscreen.
Yep. Oh, man. Yep. That's true. You got to get through. You got to get through the winter blues.
Actually, before we get in, I'll go through the thing, but then let's talk about your Nassau trip.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We just did this that episode 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
When you just got back
from Nassau.
From Nassau.
Yes.
So, but before that, if you're looking to drink a Mai Tai, either you can just get the Dogfish Head canned stuff. Like
there
I
you
can,
go. Not sponsored
or,
yet.
Again, not sponsored. Or you can mix one up yourself. So what you're going to do is pineapple juice, orange juice, spiced rum, coconut rum, grenadine.
Ooh.
And
that
ice
sounds
cubes.
Tropical.
Yeah.
That and sounds then, like a beach in a glass.
And then I garnish mine with a tiny little lime wedge. Ooh. Or not lime wedge, lime slice.
Nice. There you go. Yeah. So. Dude, just I can hear the Jimmy Buffett from inside the glass.
Like yeah. It's saying, Margaritaville.
Like, Margaritaville.
Dude, Margaritaville is a great time.
I'm yeah.
But let's cheers. I'll take a little sip of you, and then you can tell us about your trip.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers to the new year and to a new...
Yeah, cheers to 2026.
Same podcast, new year. Nice cheers.
Point. Ooh. Hell yeah.
The good stuff?
That is good stuff.
Nice, dude. Yep.
I never drink a Mai Tai for some reason. I always do a painkiller if I'm doing like a rum tropical
got you
kind of vibe.
Maybe you'll have to get on the Mai Tai vibe.
Also, I apologize if my voice sounds kind of hoarse right now. It's I just got the vid like 2 weeks ago, and I finally just recovered from it. So I apologize in advance for my unpodcast worthy voice today.
I think it sounds fine,
but yeah, tell us about your trip.
Yeah, dude. So it was super sweet. I was in Nassau. Got a chance to visit Fort Charlotte. So obviously the old fort.
Yep.
Fort Nassau doesn't exist anymore, like we mentioned in the podcast. But got to see the
updated
version. Fort. It's in a different location, but still very cool. Got a chance to go underneath the city. Into the limestone caves.
Sick.
Very sick. And then got a chance to visit West Hill Street, which is the street that I talked about. So saw some of the locations. I do think, like, you know, a lot of the buildings there, you know, in not necessarily the, like, you know, when you get to there, like, you know, the front pacing spot you see is like, you know, a little bit more updated. And then when you get behind that, like you get into the actual city, a lot of the buildings are, you know, original and have existed for hundreds of years. So it felt, the energy felt very like, you know, stuck in the city and stuff like that. But yeah, it was very cool. It was super cool to kind of see, you know, a place that we've talked about and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm an asshole. I'm sitting over here going like, yeah, like use a beach towel. I was on a tropical island for the winter. So I definitely am a little rejuvenated right now. But yeah, no, we loved it. And you know, the history, and it was so cool. Like got a chance to see the whole city, and like did a tour and got to see kind of everything. So we saw a lot more than maybe the average person, visiting. So it was so cool.
Nice. But
Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool.
And now we're sticking with the tropical theme.
Yeah.
Which I think people need during this time of the year. 100%, you need it, dude. It's just
frigid.
It's frigid. Right, it's fucking dark all the time. Yeah. Like, it's like, bro, I don't.
Yeah, we're filming this before 6 p.m. and it's pitch black.
Pitch outside. Black. You would think it's midnight outside. It feels like midnight.
And it's freezing cold.
Yes. And it is like, you're like, cut your nipples off cold, dude.
All right. So. The cocktail is one thing that I'm doing differently this week. The other thing that I'm doing differently this week is instead of a specific like location within the city of Honolulu, I'm doing a type of spirit that is commonly experienced in Hawaii, not necessarily like predominantly in Honolulu.
Okay.
But just kind of all over like multiple different islands.
Very cool.
So we will now get into that a little bit.
Nice. Let's do it.
So I'll be doing the Night Marchers of Hawaii.
Wait, what? That is a sick ass name, dude.
They're a sick ass thing.
Really? Oh, yeah, I'm so hyped.
Super cool.
Let's get into it.
Okay. I think we're both going to have to preface this episode with, I apologize very much.
Profusely.
For the just absolute botching.
Butchering.
Every single word that I'm going to say.
I think we should just have Daniel just like bleep them as if they're swear words.
They're gonna be so grossly mispronounced.
Yeah, like it's almost downright offensive how we're gonna be pronouncing everything.
So please don't come at us in the comments. No. Or do. We deserve it.
But
just know we know we're fucking up.
Yeah.
And we apologize.
Yes, we do.
We're not trying to.
No, of course just, not.
I don't know how to say these words.
No, yeah, that's fair.
All right, so as the sun sinks behind the jagged ridges of Hawaii's mountains and the trade winds quiet, the islands seem to exhale.
I have goose pimples already.
Goose pimples. For most, night brings rest. But according to ancient Hawaiian belief, it is also the hour when the past walks again. Along old trails, across beaches glistening under moonlight, and through valleys once stained with blood and glory, the night marchers, Huaka'i Po, are said to emerge. Again, definitely butchered that, yeah. That Hawaiian phrase. I apologize.
I didn't think you did terrible, but I'm also not.
Not Hawaiian. No. You are not qualified to be saying
at
anything.
At all.
Because we're both
hella white.
Very white.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, I've never been to Hawaii.
I have not.
So.
I have not.
There's that.
Yeah.
They're not ghosts in the familiar, like, Western sense. They're not lost souls that are wandering aimlessly or, like, playful spirits content to just rattle chains or whisper in dark corners. The Night Marchers are something a lot older, a lot more disciplined, and more terrifying. The spectral procession of ancient Hawaiian warriors, chiefs, priests, and attendants, eternally bound to march the paths that they once ruled in life. To understand the Night Marchers is to understand Hawaii itself, its history, its spirituality, and its deep reverence for ancestry and land.
So cool.
So before Western contact, Hawaiian society was rigidly structured and deeply spiritual. At its apex stood the alae, the ruling chiefs believed to be the descendants from the gods. Below them were the kahuna, priests and specialists who interpreted the will of the divine. And beneath them, again, gonna butcher this word. This one is a tough one. And beneath them was the maka'aina. Maka'ainana. I hope I did some justice to that word.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
You gave it.
But they were the common people who, they were farmers, they fished, and they served the land.
Got you.
Warfare was ever present. Battles were fought not only for territory, but for mana, aka spiritual power. Victorious warriors gained mana through conquest. Fallen warriors often lost it, unless honored properly through ritual. The Night Marchers are believed to be the spirits of these warriors and chiefs, particularly those who lived and died under strict kapu, which are sacred laws. Mm. Their deaths did not sever their duty, though. Instead, they continue their sacred marches, enforcing the ancient order even long after the physical kingdom fell. Descriptions of night marchers are remarkably consistent across the islands, passed down through oral tradition rather than written record. They're said to appear as a procession, sometimes silent, but sometimes thunderous, moving in rigid formation.
Whoa.
At the front may be torchbearers carrying flaming kukui torches.
Shit.
Their light glowing unnaturally bright. Behind them march the drummers, their pahu drums beating a slow, ominous rhythm that echoes through the night air. Then come the warriors themselves, clad in traditional armor, bearing spears, clubs, and shark-tooth weapons. At the center of the procession often walks a high chief, or alae, those whose presence is so powerful it can be felt before it's seen. Some accounts say that their faces are indistinct, and others insist that they are horrifyingly clear, with hollow eyes or expressions frozen in fury and pride. Unlike typical ghosts, night marchers are not bound to one place. They follow ancient pathways known as alaloa that connected villages, temples, and battlefields. Many of these paths now lie beneath modern roads, neighborhoods, and resorts, an unsettling reminder that the present is built atop the past. One of the most chilling aspects of the Night Marchers is that they announce themselves. Witnesses speak of a sudden drop in temperature, so literally chilling.
Whoa.
Even in the tropical heat of Hawaii.
Sure.
Dogs will begin to howl or whimper. The wind stills like nature itself is holding its breath. Then comes the sound, chanting, drumming, or the rhythmic stomp of many feet moving as one.
That's crazy.
Some say that the torches appear first, flickering lights bobbing through the darkness where no fire should be. Others report hearing conch shells blown long and low, a sound once used to signal war or the presence of a chief. To hear or see these signs is to know that you're in danger. They operate under ancient Kapu laws that still bind them in death. Chief among these is the absolute prohibition against being seen by the living. If a person encounters the Night Marchers and looks upon them directly, the consequences are dire.
Uh-oh.
In many legends, the offender is struck dead on the spot. In others, they're taken by the procession, never to be seen again. Their spirit forced to march forever.
Shit.
But Hawaiian lore is not without mercy, provided one knows the proper protocol. If you hear the Night Marchers approaching, you must lie flat on the ground, face down, showing complete submission. Do not look, do not move, do not breathe loudly. Some traditions say you should remove all clothing, symbolically stripping yourself of status and ego. If you are related by blood to the alae leading the march, you may be spared, but only if they recognize you. Even then, recognition is rare and unpredictable. Ancestry alone is not a guarantee of safety. Reports of Night Marchers exist on every major Hawaiian island, but certain locations are especially notorious.
Really?
On Oahu, they are often associated with the Nu'uanu Valley, Ka'a'awa Valley, and the Pali Cliffs, areas that are deeply tied. Must have
been real excited for that last
dude,
one.
yes, that was a nice one. Thank you, Pali Cliffs, for being easy to pronounce. Watch someone be in the comments being like, that's not how you say Pali Cliffs. Yeah. But the rest of them were right.
Yeah.
their area is deeply tied to warfare and royal travel.
That's so cool.
Residents have long reported hearing drums and seeing torchlight moving through residential streets that follow ancient paths. On Maui, the Night Marchers are said to traverse areas near Lahaina, once the capital of the Hawaiian kingdom, and along old coastal trails used by chiefs. And then on Kauai, sightings are tied to Polihale and it's probably Polihale or something, and other remote regions where human presence feels like an intrusion rather than a right. Maybe the most chilling is the belief that the Night Marchers don't care that these lands have changed. Houses, highways, and hotels do not stop them. They pass through walls, across asphalt, and over fences as if nothing has altered since the days of stone and earth. So I think that Two Girls, One Ghost did an episode on the Night Marchers.
Whoa.
And what they said in their episode is that, like, not only do they, like, move through stuff and, like, over stuff, like, they don't care, basically. Like, if your car is parked on their path, they'll destroy your car.
Shit.
In their episode, they even talked about one story that was... parents had put a baby's crib in like where the path was.
No.
And so they walked through, but each time that they walked through, they would remove the baby from the crib. So they would, like, the parents would wake up in the morning and come into the baby's room and they'd be like, what the heck? My baby's on the floor.
Yeah.
But like someone told them that it was like the Night Marcher's path.
Mm.
And they were like, oh my God. So they moved the crib and it never happened again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Pretty cool. Despite centuries of change, stories of Night Marcher encounters continue well into the modern era. They come from locals, not tourists, and are typically told with a solemn seriousness, not theatrical flair. Construction workers say that machinery malfunctioning at night in certain areas is common, accompanied by chanting or drumming. Homeowners describe seeing shadowy figures passing through their yards at the same time each year, often aligned with lunar cycles or historical battle dates. In some families, stories are passed down as warnings, not entertainment. Children are taught from a young age where not to go at night and which trails to avoid entirely. What makes these accounts compelling is not just their consistency, but the respect with which they're told. In Hawaii, dismissing the night marchers is often seen not as skepticism, but as arrogance.
So it sounds like everyone plays it safe with this.
But it's also like it's a respect thing for your ancestors or like whoever came before you. Like, even if night marchers aren't a real thing, it's still like you're still respect. Just showing respect to the elders or whatever.
The false alarms must be crazy, though, where someone thinks they hear him coming and then they just get butt naked and lie on the ground, and then like just a car drives by and you're like, oh shit.
It's a cop and you get indecent exposure.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I don't even know if you would. I think, like, depending on who the police officer is, if you're like, I thought you were the night marchers, you'd be like, fair. Let's maybe stop dropping dong right now, but fair.
As Hawaii continues to grapple with tourism, development, and cultural preservation, the legend of the night marchers has taken on renewed relevance. For some, they represent resistance, the idea that no matter how much the islands change, the past can't be erased. For others, they're a warning against overdevelopment or cultural erasure. Even today, some construction projects will be altered or halted after reported sightings out of respect rather than fear. It's not uncommon for elders to be consulted before building on land with a known spiritual history.
Well,
so I think it's good. I think it's a super cool, like, legend.
I agree.
And the fact that it's seen in so many different, like, spots in Hawaii,
that is corroborated. Cool. I very much agree as well. I think it's just cool that there's a place that exists. I mean, and there's a ton of places, but Hawaii is one of them where the people that are from there have such a connection to the past, the land, and all that stuff, and just a respect for the environment and the atmosphere. And you don't look at it as like, you know, you were put on this earth to tame the environment. You were put on this earth to, you know, coexist with it and nurture and, you know, build a relationship. So
yeah, I think it's super cool.
I agree.
I guess, instead of doing like haunted or not for this specific story, maybe we do like a exists or not.
I think we're both in the exists. I think
it definitely exists. I think it's just so cool.
I agree.
Like, as soon as Hawaii was brought up as a topic, I knew I wanted to do this.
Like, you were like, I'm definitely doing that.
It's just such a cool story. Like, real or not, I think it's just super cool.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
But I'll go yay on the existence.
I'm going yay as well.
All right, should we reload and then come back at you with story number dose?
Yeah.
All right.
Agree. We'll see you on the flip side.
Burbs.
Peace. Werbach.
We're Sobach.
Sobach. Doom, 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 doom. Boom, 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 boom. We are back. We're back. We're back. Dude, you know what I'm realizing? I think I'm genuinely tone deaf.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, I think I can't hear tones.
Yeah.
And replicate that.
That makes sense. That tracks.
No, and like I always knew I was bad. Like, I just was like, oh, I don't have rhythm. But now I'm like, no. I think like it goes beyond that. Like, I think I physically don't hear.
I don't think I'm tone deaf. I just think I'm a really sucky singer.
Yeah.
Like, but I think I understand the tone. I just don't.
Yeah, see, like,
I can't replicate it.
I can't replicate any sort of pattern. Like, I can't hear a pattern and say like, okay, that's do do do. Like, I can't do that.
Patterns I got, like the actual like noises.
Yeah, that's fair. But I can't. Like, I wouldn't even be able to tap at like 1 2 3 1 2 3 1. Like, I wouldn't be able to do. I can't do that.
I think I have rhythm. I don't have.
I ain't got rhythm.
I ain't got rhythm.
What's that from?
Phineas and Ferb.
Phineas and Ferb, dude. That's a throwback.
That might have been that one and the ski resort were, I think, my two favorite episodes.
Oh,
The one where they build a mountain or whatever.
I thought you were saying two favorite shows.
No. That, like, those are my two favorite episodes. The one where they get the band back together and the one with the the snow cone yes. ski resort.
We're getting the band back together. No, those were awesome. That was definitely top five show of childhood.
Oh, yeah, dude. Was that Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it.
No, right that was Disney. That was Disney.
Whoever it was.
They right had their one. Fastball with yeah, that one.
Yeah, they had it good.
Yeah. No, that was like, that's, dude, just the error. It was awesome. So, all right. I digress, okay? We are headed to a palace for mine.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're headed to the Lolani Palace, okay? I think I'm saying that correctly. It's located on South King Street in Honolulu, which is, you know, for those of you that don't know where South King Street is, which I'm included in that group. It's right downtown. So it is like in downtown Honolulu.
Okay.
It was built for King David Kaluka, Kalakua, or maybe Kalakua, with construction started in 1879 and it was completed in 1882. It was named Lolani, meaning Heavenly Hawk, a symbol of authority and royalty.
Heavenly Hawk.
Mm-hmm. It was designed in the unique American Florentine style and hailed as one of the most grand and modern palaces of its time. It even had electric lighting and indoor plumbing before the White House.
Whoa.
Yeah. Cool. Pretty cool, right? So it served as the official residence and government seat for King Kalakua and later his sister, Queen Laluokaluani. It's LILI apostrophe UOKALANI.
I'm not going to attempt.
Laluokaluani.
I feel like it's like Lily
I just.
Uo.
I. Yeah, what?
Lily Uo, right?
Lily Uo Kaluka. Lily Uo Kaluani. Okay. I think it's
Queen,
just...
Queen Liliuo.
Yeah. Liliuo Kalani. Yeah. I gotta stop, because I think it's just getting more and more racist.
It's just getting more and more wrong.
Yeah, probably. And just, I think, yeah. Hawaii was then an independent kingdom, so it engaged in diplomacy. It was where, you know, all the royal banquets, state affairs, all of that stuff happened. In 1893, though, the Hawaiian monarchy was forcibly overthrown by a group known as the Committee of Safety, backed by U.S. military forces.
Cool.
Not cool?
Oh, yeah, not cool.
Yeah,
sorry, I was like...
I was like, what? Yeah,
super uncool, actually.
Yeah, super uncool. The queen was held under house arrest in the palace for about 8 months, a pivotal... and tragic moment in Hawaiian history. So I do think, based off...
Oh, so this is like the last queen. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've heard of this.
Yeah, she was the last queen. Government was overthrown. And she was placed on house arrest for 8 months. Afterwards, the palace became the government capital for the provincial government, the Republic of Hawaii, and then the territory, serving in the role for nearly 80 years. Before restoration began. So now it has been restored. So the palace was restored to its original 19th century conditions and was opened as a museum in 1978. Today, visitors can tour you know, the Grand Hall, the Throne Room, the Blue Room, the Queen's Imprisonment Room, and private suites. So you can go around and tour the whole shebang. So now let's get to the reason why we're all here. The ghost.
The spooky ghosts.
So because of, you know, this intense history and the, you know, royal splendor and the political upheaval and the personal sorrow, this palace has attracted numerous you know, ghost legends and, you know, tales that have, you know, existed within its walls, and it comes from staff, security personnel, visitors, and local lore. So the most famous ghost is the queen herself, okay? The most famous haunting involves the spirit of Queen
Liliuokalani.
Yep, Liliuokalani herself, especially. So this is where it gets interesting. So around 5:30 a.m. is when security guards claim to see her figure walking the palace grounds in a black dress. So specifically at 5:30 in the morning.
Do you know if that has any like connection to her routine or something?
So I think it more so has to do with that was on the day where the overthrower or people kind of came to the door of the palace saying you are under arrest. 5:30 in the morning is when she got up and was, you know, but that was like her final moments by herself, like her final moments of freedom, knowing she was about to be taken and stuff like that.
Okay.
Her ghost has also been spotted in the window of her former bedroom where she was imprisoned after the overthrow. So she was just like sits there. Just sits there. That's in sad. The window. It's very sad. Some people also report hearing faint singing, often tied to her own compositions, like Aloha Oi, even when no one is present. So it sounds like she had songs and chants and stuff like that, and people can hear her singing them, even when there's no one actually in that part of the palace.
That's kind
of
cool.
Very cool, right?
Yeah.
Another Spirits on Spirits first, I think, actually. No, because we've done some old Western places, but it's a haunted piano.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So in the Blue Room, a piano locked away in a glass case is said to play by itself at night. No one with keys is nearby when it happens, and there has been numerous accounts of people hearing the piano play inside the case.
Do we know of any prolific piano players that died there?
No. Yeah. So I think, from what I can tell, is that it is, you know, no prolific piano players, but, you know, obviously there's a piano in the palace. There was, you know, people that played
it. Somebody wanted it there.
Yeah, absolutely. So people who played it were definitely, their spirit still lingers and still chooses to play it. We also have mysterious movements and sounds, which, you know, duh. If there's ghosts, you're going to have mysterious movements and sounds.
That is true.
Doors opening and closing on their own, unexplained footsteps, shadow figures, and strange noises through empty hallways. You also have the classic cold spots, electronics malfunctioning, and objects moving overnight. So, it sounds like, what I could find is, like, you know, there was no specific place. It's like there is spirits that no one can identify are, like, they're living there still. Like, they're moving multiple different things. They're opening multiple different doors and stuff like that. So there's no specific corridor where, you know, these unidentified spirits are existing. I don't want to say, like, not as important, because obviously all the spirits are equally as important. But these specific spirits haven't been tied to a person that occupied the palace beforehand. So the other thing, and you know what I think is funny? That this is, like, for the first, like, year of the podcast, we had, or we're still in the first year of the podcast.
Yeah.
But first half, we had nothing. And I feel like multiple times within the past couple episodes, we have talked about cigar smells and smelling cigar smoke. Cigars were often associated with that royal family that, you know, was one of the last ruling royal families. So, like, cigars were a sign of royalty and wealth and stuff like that in Hawaii. And people have reported still smelling, you know, cigar smoke even when there was no one in the palace and stuff like that. So I think that's very interesting that that is something where it's like, we haven't heard about many spirits that, like, you can smell cigarette smoke.
No,
it's
haven't.
Just cigar smoke.
I feel like it's only, like, political people that you hear about cigar smoke.
Very interesting.
Like, I feel like Winston Churchill
Yeah. But Mark Twain's ghost we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Twain's ghost, yeah.
So I just think it's people that, like, smoked a shit ton of cigars.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy. I think that's cool. Maybe. Don't smoke. But, like, I think it's cool that, like, this was a big part of people's lives. And, you know, it carried on with them.
Yeah.
But that is also a ringing endorsement of why you shouldn't smoke. Because even when you're dead, you're still going to smoke.
And you're still going to smell like smoke.
Yeah, still smell like smoke. Which I actually like the smell of cigars.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't, like, yeah, no. Like, I don't mind the smell of, like, unlit cigars. But once the smoke gets on everything, it's like, dude, you can't get it out for a while.
I haven't had a cigar in a while. Maybe I
haven't either.
I want a cigar. Not right now. But, like, the next time an event calls for a cigar, I will probably indulge. The last cigar I had was with you. The way I said that was, like, very sensual.
With me?
With you. With you. With you. That was, like, the High School Musical song.
Yeah, you're definitely tone deaf.
Yeah.
Sure. when was that?
When we were on the golf course in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And I accidentally inhaled the cigar by accident and thought I was going to die for about an hour after.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
No, not supposed to do that. And I know you're not supposed to do that. I just wasn't paying attention and, like, fully inhaled.
Yeah, if you're listening and you don't know this, don't inhale.
No, don't inhale. You're supposed to just keep it in your mouth. You're supposed to go like...
Yep.
But yeah. All right, let's get back on track. The last kind of thing, or I guess I want to get to a couple more things, but the last, like, big thing I want to label is the banyan tree, or the banyan trees. So banyan trees are a tree that are native to Hawaii and some other places. But on the palace grounds, large banyan trees planted in the 1880s are said to house restless spirits of those without family. So locals and guards sometimes hear whispers or feel an eerie presence near them. So the trees house these spirits that didn't have anyone else to, you know, join in the afterlife. So they, you know, were with the trees.
Hmm.
Which I think sounds creepy, but also kind of poetic at the same time of, like, yeah, you're able to, you know, what, like, you call a family tree and, like, roots and all that stuff. Yeah. So you get to be a part of, you know, that even without a family. So I thought that was really cool. So yeah, I definitely I want to make sure I covered everything. So we talk about the ghost of the queen in black, silhouettes, music, piano playing random keys, sense of the past, emotional sensation. The other thing, so some visitors describe sudden feelings of sadness, pressure, emotion, you know, especially when near this room. So when near, sorry, my notes got a little messed up. When near the Queen's imprisonment room, people feel like, oh shit, I feel sad. Which, like, valid. Tracks. Yeah, it tracks. Footsteps, shadow figures, cold spots, already touched on that. So another thing that people have talked about is a few accounts describe uniformed guards standing silently near the staircase or outside doors, and then they disappear when they're approached. So it's, you know, guards from that regime or ruling family that, you know, went down with the ship and are still existing there. Now, the other reason why... And I don't know why my notes got all messed up, but to circle back to the banyan trees, this makes sense because it was a sacred burial site, or a sacred burial site is, like, next to where these trees were planted. So before the palace was built, the area was near ancient burial mounds of chiefs, contributing to spiritual lore and reports of heavy air or eerie presence. So it was the burial ground of royalty. Is right there. So that creates kind of a heavy, and it sounds like from kind of all our research that the royalty and the chiefs in, you know, Hawaiian culture and ancient Hawaiian culture had a very stoic presence. Like they felt an enormous amount of responsibility for caring for and creating. You know, I mean, you're on a small island in the middle of nowhere, and you know, you are having to, you know, have enough resources and have enough safety for your people to be able to prosper. So I feel like that was a very heavy existence, and I think that people still feel that. Like, it's not, oh, it's a tropical island, like, it's all cheeseburgers and paradise. No, that's not the case. Like, it was enormous amount of responsibility for everyone involved to, you know, create a thriving community. And I think, you know, that weight is still felt even in the afterlife.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well, that is the Lolani Palace. Mm. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I'm going to go haunted. I think that the queen is definitely still there.
How come? Because I feel like that's unlike you to kind of just like...
Well, I just think that like it was a very like traumatic, sad experience that she had there.
Fair.
So it makes sense that she would try and repeat the like happier moments, like the moment that like before she was taken.
Yeah.
Like just... chilling, like, quietly by herself, walking mm-hmm. through the palace. Looking out through the window, like, that's sad, but, like...
It's not that.
At least she was, you know, alone and not, like...
Fair.
Yeah, so, I would go haunted.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, like, they're just a lot of energy trapped in a place where someone is being held against their will. Where they were in charge again, they had a responsibility to these people, and I think they obviously, like, I don't think it's fair they felt this way, but I think it, like, they felt a sense of like failure where, like, she wasn't able to protect her people, she wasn't able to, you know, not have this, you know, overthrow of the government happen.
I also just feel like Hawaii in general is like their history is such. So much of it is so rich.
Yeah.
But then, like, the more modern history is just so tragic.
Yeah.
And it's, like, and it's an island, which I feel like contributes probably to, like, energy being just...
Absolutely.
Like, it can't go anywhere.
No.
So it's, like, trapped there.
Yeah, it's trapped there. That's a good point. I'd never thought of that. So, yeah, I'm going haunted, too. I definitely think that there is a heavy presence in, you know, the palace. And I think it's super... kicking still. It is still very much around. So
super kicking.
Yeah. Super kicking. So all right. Well, that's all I got. It was nice you know, back in the groove for the new year and
back
all that
stuff.
Back in
the saddle.
Back in the saddle. Back in back.
I hit the sack.
So yeah, I'm excited. I hope you guys all got a little warmth, albeit a heavy warmth out of, you know, visiting this tropical location with us on the first episode of 2026.
If you need a little warmth, sip a Mai Tai.
Yeah, that'll give you the warmth.
Yeah, that'll give you the nice tropical warm feeling.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, there we go. Well... we appreciate all of you very, very much. We hope you have a safe and prosperous 2026. And we will...
And please continue to listen to us
throughout
2026.
Yeah, that would be dope. That would be super dope of you. So, like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. And we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace. Stay spooky.